I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey folks, welcome into The Memo for Wednesday.
Do you have to think about it?
August. Yeah, I overslept today, so I'm all out of whack.
I'm Derek, that's Brad. I'm surprised you put down the honey bun long enough to start the show.
That's how bad I overslept. Had to resort to a vending machine honey bun this morning.
You're on so much sugar right now between and coffee. Yeah. How much sugar do you put in your coffee?
None.
It's just black.
Take it black.
Okay, no cream.
Let the caffeine do its work.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
It doesn't seem to be doing too well.
Give it a few minutes. By the end of the show, I'll be bouncing off the walls.
You are, and I don't mean this as exaggeration or hyperbole, but no, I don't mean this mean at all. But you know how, like, cartoon characters, when they're like when Sylvester wakes up in the morning, or Garfield, I don't know why they're all cats that I'm going to, but any cartoon character wakes up in the morning and their eyes are very obviously tired.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's me.
That's you. Like, it's so noticeable on you when you have not had enough sleep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I don't mean like you. You're good looking. You're handsome.
But I look like I could use some more regular rest.
But you look like Bugs Bunny after a bender. Like you do. You just look. You look like
a
cartoon character that has been up for 3 days.
Doesn't help that like when I wake up in the morning, literally my eyes just like burn for like an hour or two until I get fully awake. And everything's blurry.
You might want to consult a physician about
Well,
that.
I mean, I do have the cataracts. Yeah, I know. I'm old. But
wait,
that's not
the
only part of it.
What? You have cataracts?
I've talked about this before. Got them in both eyes.
I feel like there was so much ammunition there that I haven't used before if I had known that. Okay.
I get old person things. I'm 41. I've already had shingles.
Is that like trademarked old person things?
Yes.
TM.
I've got cataracts now.
You need to tweet that. I have old person things trademark.
Yeah. I had to get permission from to use that phrase on the show.
Oh, did you? You had to give him a dollar?
It's trademarked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have old person things.
That's what happens when you have 18 kids.
We need to get you a shingle shot, and what else should we?
Seems like there's something else, but I can't keep track.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the bulging disc a few years ago.
Time for your colonoscopy soon, and get that scheduled. And
Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. I always thought they should.
No, because they put you under.
I always thought that the dentist and the proctologist should get together and just knock out both at the same time while you're out.
Yeah, I'm not fond of going to the dentist. It's just, it's not like some people are scared of the dentist. I just find it really annoying that they're in there working on my teeth.
So what's going to happen now is I'm going to take a picture of you.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to take a picture of Bugs Bunny, sleep deprived.
There's some kind of picture mashup thing going on?
Yeah.
Tweet it out.
For comparison, see below. Bugs.
I tried to open my eyes wide like I'm actually
Bunny,
awake. I'm not sure if it worked.
Sleepy.
I don't think we have this kind of time.
Do we?
I can vamp for a little while, though.
No, I mean, we don't have to have it all on this, but, you know. See, doesn't that kind of look like Brad?
Let me see.
Chris?
Let me see.
I can't tell the difference.
Yeah. My ears aren't
quite
that
long. That's
not
where my head went to begin with. Here's a good one, but it's a puzzle, so that one's not going to work.
No.
But that looks more correct.
Yeah, it's more accurate.
All right. Well, we will we will drudge forth as I
something to work on.
Continue to find. Yes, we found it. That's him. That is Brad Locke.
There we go.
All right. So let's go ahead and get started today. We've got a full show. Bobby Harrison's joining us, as well as Emma Kent. And Scott Morris, maybe, joining us? Brad?
Possibly.
Yeah, May. I know he was under the weather yesterday, but if he's back on his feet, he will be here to join us and talk about the Dismal's Canyon story he had in Sunday's paper.
And if not, he won't.
Dismal Canyon's also the name of Brad's eyes when he hasn't gotten any sleep. Will Brad wake up by the end of the show? Will Chris cancel us all? Find out on this episode of The Memo. Emma Kent coming in the studio on this Wednesday. You've had a busy week. It's back to school week.
It is back to school week.
That keeps an education reporter busy.
Yeah.
Not quite as busy as a teacher, though, perhaps, probably.
Probably not,
getting their classroom ready. But hey, here's a segue for you. They don't always have the materials they need
Smooth.
To get their classroom ready.
That was
Thank
good.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why he's a professional.
He's still talking, dear Lord. So what you follow around one teacher in particular, Connie Gusmus. Hey, Connie Gusmus taught me in 7th grade.
Really?
Yeah, not at Guntown, but
T-Play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, way back in the day. But She's an example of one teacher who spends her own dime to supply her classroom.
Yeah. It's pretty common for teachers to kind of shell out their own cash to buy supplies for their classrooms, you know, because money's tight.
Yeah.
When it comes to school districts.
There are several websites out there, too. I've seen, I know you mentioned a few in your story, like donorschoose.org. There's also a teacher for teacher or .com or something that is discounted or previously loved materials that...
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
You just do a Google search for, like, please help, I'm a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. Just put in teacher and everybody's like, dear God, I'm so sorry. We treat you terribly here.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of websites out there, but Donors Choose is one that I've seen a lot of, and a lot of teachers in our area use it. My husband has used it to buy new tables for his classroom.
There you go.
But, yeah, it's kind of like GoFundMe, but specifically for teachers.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, and anybody can donate. Like, I think, you know, several people I talked to said, oh, we got donations from people in New York and California and just, you know, people who were looking to help.
The distance between the fact that teachers already aren't paid enough for their profession versus not enough money being used to get supplies needed and then them having to buy the supplies themselves is quite ironic.
Yeah, it's kind of an unfortunate situation. But, a lot of the stuff they have to buy is like paper and pencils and folders and like really basic things. You know, so, and a lot of times, several teachers that I talked to for this story said, you know, a lot of times we just buy extra stuff because there are a lot of students who will come to school without the supplies they need because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they can't afford it or something like that. And they don't want those kids to be unprepared for class or embarrassed or anything like that. So they, you know, they'll buy them their school supplies on top of other things they need for their classroom. And, you know, if they have kids, their own kids' school supplies. And so, they spend, I think one of the studies that I referenced in that story said they spend on average about $500 a year out of pocket, which is, I mean, quite a bit when you're only making $30,000-$40,000 a year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty common around here.
And I was noticing, I took my daughter to open house last night to meet her first grade teacher, and the amount of people who were just picking up, the amount of parents that were just picking up the school supply list like last night, for the first, you know, having seen it for the first time, and unfortunately some kids won't get their supplies at all. So, you know, teachers often step in and will purchase those so that no kid will be left out. And it's a pretty awesome thing. I think that this, the general rule among teachers that, you know, I need these things. We need these things as a classroom, and I'm just going to have to go pay for them. It's just kind of like this known thing and a universal thing too.
Yeah, kind of. Teachers they're kind of like, oh, this is just what we do. You know, like we just do this. We spend the money. It's part of our job. It's just what, you know, it's just what we do. And a lot of teachers, you know, and I heard this from a couple that I talked to for this story, but also just, I mean, just around and just talking to teachers in general, over the past couple of years, you know, a lot of them will buy things like shoes and clothes and food for students, who they know don't have that stuff at home. You know, I know my husband has come home and said, hey, I need to go to Walmart and buy a pair of shoes for a kid in my class, you know, or the teachers are taking up a collection to buy this for a kid who doesn't have it. I mean, so it goes beyond school supplies, you know, and I know that it's not something that teachers are looking for recognition for, but it is something that they do and that they do pretty often, I think. So they do a lot more than just teach. It's kind of what I found out, and especially writing this story, hearing them talk about those things. So.
And being married to one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get a lot of...
Yeah. You hear both sides of it.
Yeah, I hear a lot of different things. I hear a lot from Jacob. So.
Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks.
Be sure to check out the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. So listen to that for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Let's go down to Jackson and visit with Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. How you doing, Bobby?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
I'm all right, sir. Did you have fun out at the Neshoba County Fair last week, baking in the heat while listening to politicians talk?
Well, it was great, Brad. In addition to being hot at the fair, my air conditioner was on the bridge of my car, so it was just a lovely day all the way around.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Yeah, they had the annual speakings last Wednesday and Thursday, I believe it was. Of course, all the big wigs, Phil Bryant, the governor, House Speaker Philip Gunn, had Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, Attorney General Jim Hood. They all spoke, among others. Start with Governor Bryant. He talked about an early childhood education, Bobby, and an initiative, I guess he'd call it, that he wants to do. It involves using state funds and or federal funds to help with early childhood education, and involves training daycare workers. But so he talked about it, Bobby, but he didn't really give much detail, did he?
No, he didn't give much detail at all, Brad. He spoke about how he was going to his term ends in January of 2019. He talked about during his final years in office how he was really going to full steam ahead on some issues, and the two issues he talked about as the type that he wanted to focus on the most were early childhood education and expanding school choice in Mississippi. Now, what each of those means, he didn't give much many details. He did, speak in broad terms about training private daycare workers through the community colleges so they could they'd be in better position to sort of teach the basics to pre-K students. And, and this is kind of a about face for governor. He'd go way back in his career. Governor Bryant was in the House way back in the 90s. He was opposed to spending state money on early childhood education, but he now talks about how important it is. I mean, so many kids in a kindergarten in Mississippi not prepared to learn, and that, and he kind of is in the mainstream of this issue that most people seem to agree now that to move to state party, economically, we gotta start in the early pre-K.
And also speaking last week were Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves and Attorney General Jim Hood, both considered to be strong candidates for governor in 2019. Of course, Hood is the only statewide elected Democrat in Mississippi. Reeves has already, I guess, stated his intention to run, it's still a couple of years away, but they kind of hit a lot of the talking points they'll probably hit if they decide to go ahead and run for governor, didn't they?
Right. Tate Reeves hasn't stated his intention, but everybody knows what those intentions are. It's pretty obvious he intends to be a gubernatorial candidate in 2019. As we stated earlier, Governor Bryant's term ends, and he can't run for a third term under the state constitution. General Hood's in his fourth term as Attorney General. A lot of people think he's going to finally bite the bullet and run for governor. Most people believe he'd be the best candidate Democrats had since Ronnie Musgrove back in the early 2000s. And at the fair, Hood touched on topics he talked about a lot lately. Providing the tax cuts to corporations, taking money out of the state coffers and big corporations, and at the same time cutting mental health, education, other programs. Reeves, Hood didn't mention Reeves by name. Took Reeves about 2 minutes into his speech before he said, General Hood's blurry eyed. He must be dehydrated from the heat. Somebody needs to help him out. He talked about how these tax cuts were going to help the state economically in the long term, and he and other Republicans in legislative leadership positions were doing what they set out to do, which was to cut state government and cut taxes. So we'll see how those two issues play out. If Hood runs as expected And, you know, everybody, you know, it'd be the biggest shock in Mississippi politics in recent years that it'd take Reeves to run for governor.
Yeah, and Jim Hood did say that, you know, he is considering, and that a lot of, as he called them, disgruntled Republicans have encouraged him to run, which to me, he seems like he would be a very palatable candidate for a lot of Republicans that aren't happy with the current administration.
Yeah, he's viewed as, he's from Northeast, from Houston, and, you know, from Northeast Mississippi, still lives in Houston, and he's viewed by a lot of people as just excuse the expression, but I think it fits, as a good old guy that, you know, grew up hunting and fishing in Northeast Mississippi and would be a candidate that a lot of people could relate to, despite the fact he's a Democrat.
Right, right. And I'm kind of curious, you know, the way the speakings went with Hood and Reeves last week, if that might provide a kind of a taste of how their campaigns might play out. I mean, you mentioned Hood didn't really go directly after Reeves, but Reeves did mention Hood pretty early in his speech. Kind of wonder, you know, I mean, politics around here, the campaigns can get pretty deep into the mud, as we've seen. But I'm curious if they how their approaches would be, and if that's indicative of what we would see.
Now, don't get the wrong impression that while Hood didn't mention Reeves by name in that speech, he's not shy about going after his opponent.
Oh yeah,
and Tate Reeves definitely is not. So if they run, if they run against each other, it's going to be a knockdown drag out. I can guarantee you that. You know, Hood's not going to back down, and Tate Reeves isn't going to back down. So it'll be a contentious election if Jim Hood and Tate Reeves are on the ballot against each other. You know, they've kind of been going back and forth to each other for several years now. So good, people like to see that type of politics. So, you know, that's what you're going to see.
And also speaking last week, just real quick, Dick Hall, he's the Central District Transportation Commissioner, and he used his forum to advocate for more funds for the infrastructure needs in the state, roads and bridges that are crumbling. And this is one of those issues, Bobby, that seems to have there's a consensus on both sides of the aisle that something needs to be done. But as we've talked about before, just doesn't seem to be a consensus on how to fix it or how to fund these needs.
Now, Dick Hall, you know, he doesn't represent our area. There's a 3-member transportation commission, and he represents the Central District, which is, you know, where the Neshoba County Fair is, by the way. So he's been, I mean, he was going there when nobody else was talking about roads and bridges, saying, you know, we need to raise the gasoline tax. Oh, we need more money for to improve the state's transportation system. And now everybody seems to agree that there does need to be more money for transportation, and everybody's now agreeing with him. But by the same token, you know, there's not agreement, as you said, on how to pay for that. He went to the fair, and he, as he had for several years, that the best and fairest way to do that is through raising the gasoline tax, because everybody, it's a tax, and you're on the road, you're going to pay it. But, you know, there still is no consensus in the legislature on how to pump more money into the transportation system. And so, at the fair, Jim Hood kind of embraced the notion of spending more money on raising the gasoline tax to pay for enhanced transportation spending. But Tate Reeves, Bill Bryan, the governor, Speaker Philip Gunn, they're still not there yet. There's talk about, we're going to find a solution, but there's not a solution so far that they all three agree on and they can pass the legislature.
All right, well, good stuff. You can read Bobby's stories, of course, in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. And you can also watch Bobby and myself each Monday on the Capitol View webcast. You can watch it every Monday afternoon about 2 o'clock at djournal.com. Bobby will provide analysis and commentary on all the issues being debated in Jackson and elsewhere regarding state government. You can watch live on Mondays or catch the replay later in the day. And even though the 2017 session is over, Bobby will obviously continue to provide perspective about all the news coming out of the state capitol or out of the Neshoba County Fair or wherever. Bobby, as always, thank you, sir.
That's must watch, TV, Brad. That's what I tell my kids every week.
Must watch, that's right. Thank you. Scott Morris joining us. Being a real trooper, you don't sound like you feel 100% yet.
Man, I'm thinking about going home and going to bed, but I had to do this for the memo because I don't get invited to the to this podcast very often. Like the stuff I do on Sunday, the head chief over here, Chris Kiefer, just says, no, yeah. no, we don't need to talk about that. No, forget about that. No. Did Morris write it? Forget about it. Some kind of little Sunday, little dinky Sunday story in the living section? No, we don't have time.
You do the voice inside my head very well.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of high-pitched and whiny.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you can power through like Jordan playing with the flu and scoring 60 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to do this whole thing with my tongue hanging out.
I see there what you did there. You did have a story on Sunday we'd like to talk about Dismal's Canyon. That's over in Alabama. I've been there a couple of times, two or three times. It's really, like you say in the story, it's kind of a time or a place out of time. You know, you go in there, you kind of forget everything else.
Yeah, it's the story just went bonkers on Facebook because people who have gone and who it made an impact on. It's over in Phil Campbell, Alabama, a little bit north of you're going to help me now because I can't think of that.
Hamilton,
there you go.
Yeah, Brain's near not Bear working Creek well and all today. That. Yeah.
And they got a little creek that goes through there that's spring fed. That spring is I didn't put this in there, that there's a 55 degree water and you're free to swim in if you dare.
Wow.
And when you get there, they have a new area, patio porch area. It looks very, very comfortable to sit around. But, I mean, all that stuff's just a prelude to going down the steps and getting down into the canyon itself.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful guide, Brittany Slappy. She just told me all kinds of stories as we walked through and pointed out the rock formations. And so she was, early on, she's like all talking about root formations of these trees. Yeah. You look at roots all the time. It's like, you know, big deal. But as you go through, you see what these trees have to do to survive in this rocky environment and how far these roots are crawling around and twisting around just for survival.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's like, I'm on your side now. Root formations, they're the bomb.
And, it's just most recently was there last year, or the I think it was last school year, maybe in the school year before, I forget. It hadn't been that long with my son's class from school. And just, like I said, you kind of go down in there, and it's just so many different cool little spots along there. Whether it's that, what's that called, the kitchen, is that what they call it?
Yeah, they call it the kitchen.
The kitchen, yeah. Like that, where apparently Native Americans used to, you know, use that.
They said that they used it when they were rounded up there before the Trail of Tears or toward the end of the Trail of Tears.
Right, right.
And there's another area where you can see the indention where they just ground corn for who knows how many years, and it's in this big boulder and a corn grinding indention that they made.
Now, how did they know that it was corn grinding that did that?
Well,
I'm just curious.
I guess they're going by what other sites have had and stuff because she just told me it was. And there's a similar site. There's a similar grinding area that you can't find up in Tishomingo State Park that I saw years ago.
Yeah,
it's just an area where they would grind their grain.
You know, like I said, I've been there a couple of times. I didn't know a lot of the history behind it and a lot of the legends. I mean, it's got a lot of cool stories attached to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you can go there and take a tour it by yourself, and I think that's legitimate. You can really enjoy that because there's a lot of stuff to see. But you know, knowing that you have mountain laurels or you have the wild rhododendrons or the hemlocks, which aren't really that widespread in Alabama or Mississippi.
Yeah.
So somebody can point that kind of stuff out. And then, like, there's a rock, a stone. It looks just like a stone, but actually it was a kind of a reflecting stone. They would build their fire against it, and the stone would send the heat back into them in the bluff that they were that the Native Americans would stay in.
Hmm.
And there's one story that may or may not be true, you know, how this stuff goes, an Indian maiden threw herself off the bluff after her husband or her lover was killed.
Yeah.
And they said you can see her face in the rock wall. I couldn't see it. Nobody in my party could see it, but people said they had seen it.
Hmm.
I may not have been squinting enough. I mean, you know, I tell you what, if I was on the same kind of cough syrup I'm on today, I might have been able to see it.
Seen a few other things, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot to explore. We got lost at one point when we were going through there. I mean, there's kind of some trails you can follow, but it's easy to get off the trail.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, just to see it all.
But there's a story, there's one area that was kind of like an interesting place to explore, and apparently this guy and his dog went off the trail, and the dog went out there, and they both ended up breaking their legs. And my guide said she felt sorry for the dog anyway.
The dog didn't have a choice.
Yeah. And there's everything's marked. Like, have a, you know, like, so, like, there's Burr's Hideout, which is a place where one of those old bank robbers from Alabama,
yeah,
train robbers used to hide out. And then there's this place called Secret Falls. How secret can it be when they have a sign pointing that direction?
Well. You know?
But still... it's beautiful. When I was there, kids were like all over it, just having a blast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They make you sign some heavy duty waivers before you go in.
Yeah, I guess I just don't recall signing them. But you can't take pictures and keep them for yourself.
I don't know about that. I think you can take pictures. But, okay. I mean, we took pictures. But the waiver, I think, also has to do with being able to go out there and swim and enjoy it like the old days, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't sue us.
Yeah.
It's owned by a family in Columbus. They didn't want their names in the paper, and okay. I wasn't told their names. I don't know who they are, but apparently one of them's a lawyer.
So that land is actually privately owned.
Yeah, it's been privately owned for quite some time.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
It's a natural landmark.
Right, right.
A national natural landmark. And it's been open to the public, I believe, since the 50s.
Yeah. Well, and yet a lot of people around there don't really know much about it that it's there, do they?
Yeah, well, it's somebody sent me something many years ago, and I never went until now, and I just felt like I made a mistake in life. I feel like that's one of the failures I made. One was getting too close to Chris Kiefer. That was one of my mistakes.
You can also rent cabins out there. You can go camping, and it costs a lot of money to do it. But
yeah, they're kind of expensive, but
cool place to do it.
Yeah, and so the camping isn't in the Dismals; it's on the other side.
Right.
But you know, like, we don't have that many rock formations in Mississippi. That's not something that we're known for.
And you pretty much got to go to Tishomingo County for that.
Right. And so this is kind of, I guess, part. I don't know exactly, but I mean, I'm assuming it's something to do with the Appalachians, the way that was all made. It just goes down instead of up.
Right.
And when you're driving, it's like, you see how there are a fair amount of like a drop-off on the way up that road from Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sort of get a taste for what you might experience. But just these giant slabs of rock, you know, they break off over time, and so you're walking between them. And how many thousands of years ago did they break off, you know?
Yeah.
And then the moss is so – one guy says
– so green there, man.
Yeah, that's what one guy said. One guy said, like, I talked to – he came up just for that. He and his wife came up from Florida with their dogs. And he said, there's a version of green here that makes me happy. And when he said that, it's like – it just kind of summed the place up for me.
Yeah,
it definitely had a That was a good comment. Yeah. You got these little things called them slim flies, but I couldn't find anything online about a slim fly. But it's a version of the dragonfly family.
Huh.
They're very brightly colored, and they don't mind just getting right up to them nose to nose to like inspect them, because they're pretty patient little bugs.
Huh.
And they're like bright turquoise, bright blue, the kind of very electric-y colors.
Yeah, that's
and,
cool.
And so they probably come in yellow and just all kind of colors.
Well, excellent story there in Sunday's Journal, and with some good pictures as well.
So that's what I have to do. So every time I'm not invited, that means that either I didn't write an excellent story, or there were no good pictures.
Yeah, pretty
know
much.
What you mean?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, all right, then I have to just work on my excellency for the future all here.
Right, cool.
Now, clearly, like on Facebook, people were just sharing this thing left and right,
yeah.
And most of them had already been, so they were like and endorse it and how much fun they had when they were there.
It's worth the time and money to go. Definitely.
Oh yeah, well I got in for free.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'm a newspaper man. I got my ways.
All right, well thanks for joining us, Scott, and I hope you get feeling better.
Thank you.
Well, I would say that the caffeine kicked in for you. You're the color has filled out. It's not so all red.
All I need is a second cup.
And okay. And the honey bun disappeared long ago.
It was not bad for a vending machine
so
honey bun.
You should be that sugar should be kicking under the bloodstream any minute now. That's what happens when you eat a whole honey bun too. You just like straight lining heroin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just
be all over the place this morning in the office today.
It's like Requiem for a Dream. It's just
he's going to crash
of your eyes, yeah.
3 o'clock.
After he starts like being grumpy and flipping tables and whatnot. He doesn't ever truly wake up. He just has more energy. He's still asleep and grumpy. He's just like the Hulk.
Yeah, and I'll read somebody's story and I'll be like,
punching him.
Don't you know how to use commas?
Yeah.
And throw my computer across
You're
the room.
Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Y-O-U-R.
Oh, hey, by the way, I mentioned a prep rally earlier. You know, you may have noticed I said Dalton Middleton, not Gene Phelps.
I did notice that.
Well, I don't know if we mentioned it on here or not, but Gene Phelps, who has been here for 31 years, has retired. His last day was Friday of last week. So he just kind of filed a story and left around 4-something on that day without any fanfare. I didn't get a picture with him. I mean, he was sports editor when I first got hired here in the sports department. So he was my first boss here, I guess. And so he's going to be sorely missed. Now, he will, spoiler, he's going to come back in a few months and do some part-time work for us, just like covering games and whatnot, after he takes a few months off. So
I think I was telling you, I ran into one of the Tupelo High School assistant football coaches at the open house for Daniel's school yesterday. His daughter's in Daniel's class. But anyway, he mentioned that Gene was at football practice for Tupelo High on either Monday or Tuesday, was just there the whole time, just watching it. Just can't give it up.
He's aimless now. I just gotta go.
Now, I was not surprised to hear that.
I'm programmed to go. I must go. My people need me.
Next day, we found him in Hatley just watching the football right. practice. Then he was in Holly Springs. They weren't practicing. He was just
standing
on the field.
Put out a silver alert for Gene Phelps. No, I'm good. I just went to the game.
Football practice.
Just standing on the field. Nobody was out there.
No. But, I mean, that speaks to the passion that he's had for so many years and what made him good. And, you know, we obviously a lot of institutional knowledge that we
He's missed countless children's birth for these games. So
he's got two kids.
He's missed two children's birth.
I don't think he did.
Hey, come back and we'll do it again on Friday. How about that?
Yeah, I guess we will.
Okay.
Cool. Y'all have a good one.
Were you going to tell him anything?
What? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I think the coffee's wearing off already. Oh, no, there's a...
Honey bun, now!
That's a lot of ways to listen to us. You got iTunes, you got any of your podcast apps, you got Google Play, and of course we're online at memo.djournal.com. If you use one of the podcast apps, just click the subscribe button. You'll get notified when we have a new episode. And you can follow us on Twitter to find out about new episodes at djournalmemo. And all the stories we talked about today you can find in your daily journal or online, djournal.com. Follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow. Also on Instagram, same handle. There you go.
Ooh, Instagram.
IG.
Are we on Snapchat?
No, we haven't gone that route yet.
Okay.
I figured out how to make that.
Are we on Blipper?
Who?
I just figured I'd start making up names without vowels.
Blipper.
Yeah. Are we on Flipper? It's just FLPPR.
Yeah, drop all the vowels because you're clever.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, if we're not on Blipper, whatever. We'll just.
I'm going to look into that.
Well, maybe we should create Blipper.
Blipper. I don't know what that would be.
I don't either.
Blipper. It kind of sounds like...
Sounds like something that would
sounds
exist.
Sounds like a site
right?
where you can post videos, but they can only be 3 seconds long.
Yeah.
It's like Vine, but shorter.
Let's say... Let's just...
just post a blip.
Just for the sake of the show. B-L-I-P-P-R. Let's see what happens here.
What was that?
Oh, it's a thing. Blipper is Mashable's new community review site.
Eh.
It's growing fast.
It's not an app, though, right?
No, it's just a...
What was Bill Belichick's network, Snapface? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, what did you say?
Something like that.
Or,
Snapface or...
Twitface or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about Flipper? It's just going to tell me, did you mean Flipper? Flipper is an ironing board for those of us that don't necessarily enjoy spending an hour a week ironing our shirts and pants. It's a Kickstarter. All the good names without vowels have been taken.
Dang it.
How about Locker?
What?
L-O-C-K-R.
See y'all on Friday.
Kiffer.
Bye.